Okay, two questions that came up this week. I got a text from a Chashva Rav in Los Angeles, and he forwarded me a text that he received from somebody that said they want to dress up this year on Purim as a priest. Is there any problem with that? Can you dress up as a priest on Purim? Okay, so that's Shaila number one, pretty straightforward. Shaila number two, I don't know if you are up to date on your... Yeshiva World News or Matzav or whatever, but the people of Kosher Innovations have come out with another kosher innovation, right? The people who brought you the kosher lamp have now brought you a kosher, soda bottle opener. For those who hold that it's usher to open up soda bottles with a plastic cap, because why would it be usher to open up soda bottles with a plastic cap? Yeah, but what happens exactly? How does it make it a clean? Because now all the plastic caps, when you twist the cap, it breaks off the ring at the bottom. So now there's a device. You could watch the 2-minute video, because it takes approximately 2 minutes to open up a soda bottle. But you can watch the 2-minute video of how to attach this device to the soda bottle, and it stretches the ring to the point where if you give a little pull and a twist at the same time, you can actually pull the cap off without detaching the ring, and the ring will remain part of the cap, and that way you can avoid all sorts of Chil Shabbos by just using your Kosher Innovations soda bottle opener for $15 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. So those are so I think we're just going to discuss these two tonight, because each one has enough to say. We'll save other stuff for a different time. You want to learn about soda bottles or dressing like a priest? Two? Everyone says soda bottles? Yeah? Okay. Someone said three? Sorry. Okay. So the pitch that the company made was that is as follows. You can go on their website, and it's pretty, they lay it all out for you, and they say that this solves the problems of makah bepatish and mechatech that occur when you open up a soda bottle on Shabbos. Makah bepatish, how is it makah bepatish? What you said, Judah, because... you're making a kli. The cap was not a functional kli beforehand. When you get that little ring off of the bottom of the cap, now the cap can go back on and off and off very easily. So you took something that was not a functional kli and you made it into a kli. And mechatech. What's mechatech? Cutting something down to a very specific size, right? So you're cutting down the cap from the ring on a very on a perforated line to show exactly where it needs to be cut. So normally a violation of mechatech. And they say, the lashon on the website is, the majority of poskim hold that it is otherwise usur to open up a plastic soda bottle with a plastic cap on Shabbos, and they give you a list of who the majority of poskim are. Rav Moshe, Rav Elyashiv, Rav Vosner, the Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Scheinberg, and Rav Falk, he's the one that wrote, what did he write? Rav Elio Falk, he wrote the Tznius book, and other things too. These are the poskim that are asr. So why is it asr to open up a bottle? So they go through. It's makah bepatish for two reasons. First of all, you're making a functional cap, and it's also yifui kli, which the Gemara Masechta Shabbos tells us, Amr Rabbi Shimon ben Kisma, Amr Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Hatzar Tzura B'Kli, Chayish Mishum Makah B'Patish. That when you make a kli nicer, you make a tzura on a kli, that's a violation of Makah B'Patish. The cap, even if you argue that it is already a cap, when the ring is on it, it's not a good cap, it's not a geshmaka cap. When the ring is on it, you remove the ring, that is a yifoy kli, and a yifoy kli is makah bepatish. Mechatech, they say, it's a violation of mechatech, because you're cutting it to a very specific size, when it's not ready to use, and when it's not ready to use, after the chituch, the Rambam says that it would not be mechatech, but this is, as soon as the chituch is done, it's ready to be used, and therefore would be a violation of mechatech. But they've avoided mechatech because they've made it in such a way where even after you pull it off, it's still no good. You can't really put it back on easily. You have to like stuff it back on or take it off again easily. You'd have to go through the whole process again, take it off. So you avoid mechatech because even if it does a little bit of cutting or something, or removing it itself is considered cutting, it's not really making it a usable, fully functional kli, and that way they avoid mechatech. Aye, what about those people who have been opening soda bottles the entire time, right? That for years have been opening. So should I take a poll? How many of you open plastic soda bottles and shops? Everybody. Okay. So what about those? So is there no use for this invention if you hold that it's mutter? No, they say, don't worry. We have the product for you too. It's still a welcome invention because the Rambam writes, Kol ha-shomer es ha-shabes gilchosa u-mechabda u-me-ango kifi kochel kvar mefurish be-kabola schara bolam hazeh yeser al schara tzofen li-olam haba shenemar oz tisanig al ha-shem rebesichal b'mos ha-yaretz ve-chaticha nachlus Yaakov avicha kipi ha-shem diber. Meaning, it's a really good thing to honor Shabbos. So, therefore, you should take as many chumras as you can. So, if there's something about Shabbos that's questionable, that there are poskim that hold that it's aser, and even if you hold it's mutter or your poskim holds mutter, but you might as well avoid the iser entirely. So, even if you held it's mutter, but why not do something that's mutter l'chol adeos instead of being machnes rosh into a machlokas? Why would you want to enter into a machlokas? And that's the pitch. That's the pitch that they make on their website. And then they have a whole bunch of haskamos. Now, keep in mind, this is a very good company. They've produced a lot of very useful things for the Jewish people. Most useful, probably, is that we've discussed in the past, the kosher lamp, right? And those who have issues with that, and why they made a, you know, other companies made a super kosher lamp, and the shabalb, and the, right, okay, we've gone through all that in the past, but they've done some really good things over here. So the question is, is this a really good thing? So there are three potential approaches you could take toward this product, or really toward any product. One potential approach, new, what are the potential approaches?
Yes, no.
Yes, no, and what?
Maybe.
So, no, okay. So, yeah, meaning either this was terribly needed, and they've provided a great service because there was no other way to do this, and now they've solved the problem, or who needs it anyway? Everything was fine without it. Right? We're allowed to open up the bottles anyway, right? Third possible approach that you didn't think of is this was terribly needed, and this isn't good enough. It's still us. That we still have a problem. Right, those are the three potential approaches. All three approaches exist. Okay, so let's try to figure out why that is. What exactly the issues are? Meaning, they have told us in their website that they have solved the two problems with opening a bottle on Shabbos. They may have solved two problems, but there might be three problems with opening a bottle on Shabbos. And if you haven't solved the third one, well, then you're still going to have a problem, right? So let's go through. What about binyan? How come they didn't discuss binyan? So there's a Mishnah Maseches Beitza Daf Chav Beis that according to Beis Hillel, ein binyan bekelim is machlokas Rishonim exactly how to understand ein binyan bekelim. Rashi understands kipshuto. There's no iser of binyan or stira bekelim at all. Only by batim, by houses, by structures, not by kelim. However, Tosos and Masech Shabbos Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis and Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis say no, there is binyan bekelim, but only if it's like a solid and complete kli and not just something very small and flimsy. The Rambam in the seventh paragraph of Hilchos Shabbos, as understood, writes Shekol Hamakavitz Chelek El Chelek V'Dovak Hakol Ad Sheyasu Guf Echod Harezed Domel LeBinyan. That there could be binyan bekelim, but only if it's a kelim that's made of different parts and you attach the parts together. And when you attach them together, you've now created a kli. Only that's binyan bekelim. So bottle caps, according to Tosfos, which Shulchan Aruch passes like a Simin Shin Yadalid, seems like it would be a problem to open a container with metal caps. Rav Moshe in Igros Moshe Chaim Chelik Alv Simu Kuf, after going through Tzadim LaHakel, says Dim Kavanasul Lekayim Akli Efshar Dikum Lachado Raisa B'Psichaso, and it could be that that's binyan. However, it does not seem that with a plastic bottle cap, which was already a cap, just with a ring on the bottom of it, and now you're detaching it, that would be binyan. It seems that the more likely, I mean, that's not a significant enough change to the object to be a real act of binyan. It seems the much more likely malacha to talk about is one that they do talk about, which is the malacha of makapapatish, right? Mechatech also, but makapapatish first. That it's not binyan, but it's like, you know, it's almost there, the kli is almost finished, and you just need to remove that ring to make it an entire kli. So that's makapapatish. Now, much of the discussion in the earlier poskim was about metal bottle caps. You can't find metal bottle caps anymore. Like, you need to have, like, some really cheap shalachmanos wine, you know, that has a metal bottle cap, right? So that it's like once a year you'll find it. I don't know what those companies do the rest of the year. What?
Grape juice in Israel,
right? In America now, even the grape juice companies have stopped doing it. When I was your age, there used to be an old man that used to walk around the YU based Medrash selling grape juice on Thursday nights, and we'd always buy from him. And at that time, the grape juice had a metal bottle cap. The sparkling grape juice, right. That always has metal. So most of the discussion puzzles about a metal bottle cap. Now, it is important to realize that a metal bottle cap is not the same as a plastic bottle cap. What's the primary difference between a metal bottle cap and a plastic bottle cap? The way they're put on, right? Meaning a plastic bottle cap, there's some place that's making bottles and some place that's making caps, already in the shape of caps. And then the plastic bottle cap is put onto the plastic bottle. Metal bottle cap, there's a place that's making glass bottles, let's say, and another place that's making these flat sheets of metal, and they have machinery that takes these little flat sheets of metal and sticks it on the bottle, where it was never a cap before it actually went on the bottle. That's why it doesn't glide off easily, because it wasn't really slid on and made to fit perfectly. It was just a piece of metal that was sort of crudely attached to the top of the bottle. So let's discuss what the poskim have to say. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Mincha Shlomo is machmir on the metal bottle caps, because he says when you pull it off, you're creating a functional cap. If, he says, for example, let's say the bottle were glass, and you smash the bottle, so the glass shatters all over the place, and you shake out the cap, and you clean out all the glass from the cap would be unusable for other bottles. Meaning, it was made for that bottle. What does it mean it was made for that bottle? It took the shape of that bottle, and it won't be usable for other bottles, and therefore, says Rosh Hashanah Zalman, Pashra davar she'isur gomorhu liftach bal rishona b'Shabbos. That it's obvious that it's an isur gomor to open it on Shabbos. When discussing widening the bottom instead of removing it from the ring, in a letter in Sefer Ma'ara Shabbos in Kuntros Penine Ma'ar Mechtavav, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, Ulanias daiti nira shim ein bedaito lizrok as a pekak la'ashpa. If you're not going to throw the cap out in the garbage, and you're going to keep on using it to open, to close. He says, I don't know why this wouldn't be an Isser Da'oraisa. So it sounds pretty bad. But then, in the Tikkunim Miluim to Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, which by now is probably printed in the actual volumes, but it used to be when it was first printed, there were two volumes of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, and then they printed a third volume of Tikkunim Miluim. That wasn't when it was first printed, that was later on. I mean, there were several printings of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. First they had the printing that had all the kulas, and then they had to deal with the blowback from that. So then they took out all the kulas, and they changed a number of things. And then later on, the whole Sefer was read by Rav Shlomo Zalman. It's pretty amazing. Rav Neubert got Rav Shlomo Zalman to like mamish comment on everything. That's why every footnote in the Shmir Shabbos you have quoting from Rav Shlomo Zalman, because he mamish read Mitchilas of Atzofo, and he wrote Ha'aros that they later included in the Tikkunim Umilum. So in the Tikkunim Umilum of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he says that that if it's made out of plastic, holva hatabas shebekatza od pnei lifnei hapsicha nikar she davar nifra migufa pekak. He says the ring that's going to fall off of the bottle, you could see where that ring is before you ever twist the bottle. By the metal ones, you can't. It's sort of just a piece of metal, and then when you squeeze it, when you twist it, some of it falls off. But by the plastic one, it's very easy to see where it's going to come off. So it's obviously just an extension onto the plastic bottle cap. And he says, "V'nikra davar sha'asui rak shabedchili eroy leskiru mechletas." It's obvious that it's only put there just so that when it's being sold in the store, it should be a tamper-proof seal. V'she nikra mishu pasachoso, tamper-proof. It should be obvious if someone else opened it. So near the mutter. He says, it seems that it'll be mutter, because what it was, it still is. It was a plastic bottle cap, still is a plastic bottle cap. Now it's just missing the bottom piece of the plastic bottle cap. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is makel on opening plastic soda bottle caps on Shabbos. In Rivvos Ephraim, in Chelek Dalid, and Rav Simcha Bun Kohn quotes from Rav David Feinstein, they both report that Rav Moshe held that it's aser. The Rav Moshe held that it's aser mishur makah bepatish to open up even a plastic bottle cap. Okay, so that's makah bepatish. You have machlokes or Shlomo Zalman Rav Moshe. Rav Shlomo Zalman holds mutter. It's not makah bepatish. Rav Moshe held that it is makah bepatish. Mechateich. What about mechateich? Well, cutting the cap from the ring, one could argue is a violation of mechateich as well. I don't know which poskim say exactly that it is mechateich, but okay. But you could hear such an argument. Although you could say that you're not cutting it down to a precise size. That's not really what it's about. So maybe it doesn't exactly fit the definition of mechateich, but potentially. What's the third issue? The one that we said, oh, they're advertising that they solve two issues, but there's a third issue. So what's the third issue? Third issue is what's called stima ma'aliyasa, that when you make a brand new opening, because something was totally sealed, something was totally closed, the issue is that by making a brand new opening, you are violating some sort of malacha. Meaning, it's not about the cap. It's not about that the cap is becoming a kli. It's not about the fact that the cap is, you're cutting the cap down from the bottom part of the cap. No, it's the bottle. If the bottle is sealed tightly shut in a way that's really strongly sealed, and you undo that seal, you have opened the stima ma'al yasa, a really strong seal, and that is a violation. What exactly is it a violation of? So that's a discussion in poskim. But it's a violation of something, makah bepatish or bonus, something. It's a violation of something. Now, Rav Moshe held by milk cartons, you guys probably never even saw one. Right, the old milk cartons that open with the cardboard? Yeah, they still have them? No, because even like the Skim Plus, they have like a screw-off thing. What? The mini ones still have like that. Right, okay, good. So, what? And Hask? Okay. So milk cartons, it was a big machlok supposed. But Moshe and Arachaim Chagdal Zimnayin Ches held that it was aser because you were making a new opening. It was a steam of Ma'al Yisa, and you're creating this new opening in this sealed shut kli. The Debrezina Rav in Ber Moshe Chelik Vav Zimn Peites, you know who the Debrezina Rav was? No. You know where he was from? Give you two guesses. Debrezina and then Borough Park. Transition from Debrecen to Borough Park, but the Debrecina Rav, he's a serious posek. You know, a lot of his he's often a bar plukta of Rav Moshe. So he writes a lot of nice tshuvas. He has a couple of funny ones also, but a lot of very very nice tshuvas. So in the Debrecina Rav in Bar Moshe Chelik Vav Simon Peites, he writes kufsaus chalav, milk cartons. He says, I think it's mutter. But if you poke a hole in the bottom so that you're not making a functional kli, then it would be even better. But mikra din, it's mutter against Rav Moshe. So when it comes to soda bottles, in Tshuvas Mishnah Alachos, Chelek Zayin, Simon Mem Zayin, he writes, who is Mishnah Alachos? Rabbi Nasha Klein, the Ungvar Rav, my grandfather's from Ungvar, He was in the concentration camp together with Rabbi Nasha Klein. Who else? What other famous person was in that same in Buchenwald with Rabbi Nasha Klein and my grandfather? Eli Wiesel. You know this? Who built Rabbi Nasha Klein's yeshivas? Eli Wiesel. They were not exactly the same religiously, but you go through hell together and creates a certain relationship. Yeah. So Rav Menashe Klein, anyway, in Chelek Zayin, Simon Mem Zayin, writes that Nifkashti es Hagon Maharam Feinstein. I ran into Rav Moshe, I'm not a chassan or something. V'sha'altiv gam kein ma daito b'zai. I wanted to know, what are you all about opening soda bottles? V'amr li di mishumasiyas kli lo chashash klal el d'chash lo mishum shol sepeh. That he's not choshesh about asiyas kli, meaning the cap. He's only choshesh about asiyas peh. About that the opening the soda bottle is going to be a violation of stima malyusa, that you're opening up a stima malyusa. A similar report in the Tshuvas Rivos Ephraim, Chelek Dalas and Mekuf Peites, in the name of Rav Libes, who said, Umash Kosek for Torah Rabbi Shem Agon, Haram Feinstein Zatzal, Zechorni Shezez Man Ravdi Barti Imo Odos Inyan Zesh Al Kisoy Abak Bukim. I remember I spoke to him about this, Vedikte Karbe Bazeh. Aval mishum tikun mana amar beferush leleka lemechash, aval amar beferush lesar. That it's not tikun mana. He didn't say that it's he said the yarav to be choshev tikun mana. He didn't say beferush that the whole thing is aser, but he was mesupik about the whole thing. So different reports of exactly what Rav Moshe held about soda bottles. Unfortunately, we don't have a written tshuva exactly on the topic. But from the milk cartons, we could see at least by the milk cartons he held of this concept of stima malyusa. So stima malyusa is the applicability of the concept of stima malyusa to a milk carton. So one might make the argument that the same is true for a soda bottle, that it's a really tight, strongly sealed thing. Rav Moshe held, you know what makes it so strongly sealed? And you know what the raya that it's a stima malyusa is? Take a milk carton, hold it that's sealed, that hasn't been opened yet, hold it upside down. And what happens? Nothing. It's fine. Nothing spills. Open it and then close it back up again, hold it upside down, and what happens? Everything spills. Right? So he says, that's opening up a stima malyusa. It was a really strong stima, and now you've opened it up. And therefore, Rav Moshe held the milk carton certainly were aser. Okay, so good. So what is that? Where does that leave us with these with the soda bottles? So who holds that it's absolutely necessary? So reading through all of the haskamos on the website, it seems that there's only one of them that said that it's mamish aser without this product. And now that you have this product, it's going to be mutter. Rav Shmuel Felder said that he heard from Rav Belsky, Zichron of Vracha, that Rav Moshe held that it was Nisidol Raisa, and he's not even convinced that the classical eights of poking a hole in the top really works, which is surprising, because everyone else seems pretty convinced that really works. But he says this product will solve that problem. Then there's a significant group of posts, and pretty much every other askama on the website, which seems to either say explicitly or give some sort of indication that it's at least a diyun in the poskim, that it's at least a machlokas haposkim, and that there are poskim that hold that this product is unnecessary. But, you know, matov manayim, if you could be yotze koladeos, then that's even better. So, for example, there's a letter from Shlomo Miller. I believe the fellow who runs this company, who comes up with all these innovations, is a Torontonian. So I think he has a shaykhus of Shlomo Miller. I think I learned that last time when the competing Shabbos light came out, and they clearly marketed it against, you know, the original Shabbos lamp. So Shlomo Miller wrote a letter in defense of this the original Shabbos lamp, and so someone told me, yeah, of course Shlomo Miller defended it, because Shlomo Miller was behind it in the first place, because it was someone that he has a relationship with. And if you watch the video, the fellow speaks in a Canadian accent, so that also gives it away. So anyway, so Shlomo Miller holds, look, it's a deal in the poskim, he writes, whether you can open a plastic cap or not, and this solves all potential issues. Rav Pesach Eliel Falk writes that some are machmir on opening bottles, even though on the website he's included in the list among those who are machmir, so I don't know, I didn't read his tshuva on the topic, but he writes in this letter, some are machmir, and this would make it good according to everybody, even though, and he said, and he points out, even with this product, sometimes the ring partially comes off. He writes, "Ein b'ze iser shein afradzi irazu m'seyes klal b'psicha samachasa milsa agavorchihi." That it doesn't really, that afrada doesn't really help in the opening, and therefore, since it's something that's just happening incidentally, it's not a problem. Rabbi Cheskel Roth writes, "Beferish, it's mutter anyway to open bottles, but this is nice, good idea anyway." So there's only that third possibility. Who holds that it's asr to open bottles, and this product doesn't help? So Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter happens to be very machmir about opening bottles on Shabbos because of the Stima Ma'alius issue. So I had the opportunity to see him today, and I asked him about this product, and he said, "Yeah, someone showed me the video of it yesterday. I don't see how it helps." So I said, "What do you mean? It takes away mechatech and it takes away makah v'patish on the bottle cap." He said, "Yeah, but that's not the reason that it's also to open a bottle. Soda bottle. It's also because stima malisa. It's sealed purpose so tightly shut, and now you're opening it up. So that's why." And I remember that when Rav Shai Shechter and family came to my house for a yontif meal once on Sukkot, so my kids brought out all the soda bottles, and his kids like eyes got big, like, "Oh, we want some. We're so thirsty." And there was one bottle that looked like it was open, and he picked it up and he took a look and he saw it was closed and he put it back down. And like, so I told my kids, "Go into the kitchen, open them up, bring them back down. Because Rav Shai told that it's a violation of Stima Yisrael, and he says, "And this isn't going to help that violation, because it's, well, I don't care what you do to the bottle cap, it's the bottle. The bottle's the problem." So Rav Shai told, "It gets you out of mechatech, making the cap, but it's still a problem Stima Yisrael because it's a very tight sealed cap. It's sealed well onto the bottle. It takes a lot of effort to remove it, and that would make it a violation of a Pesach Chadash, which again is either makah bepatish or bona." Just like Rav Moshe said about the milk cartons. So when I saw Rav Shechter today, I said, "Is that really like a milk carton? No, well, can you give a svara why that's not exactly the same as a milk carton?" Okay, but when you leave it open, it will. Meaning the problem is you're making a Pesach. You're making
a already.
So that's what I thought. The cap is sitting on top of an already existing Pesach. The Pesach was there, and then a cap was put on it. I don't care how tightly you squeeze the cap on. What, because when you turn it upside down, by the milk carton, there is no already existing Pesach. It's all part of the carton. And when you open the milk carton, you're sort of tearing it a little bit. It's glued shut, and you're tearing it a little bit in order to create this Pesach. So I asked him what he thought about that. He said, it's still so tightly sealed. It's so tight. How can you, and you're doing something." So then he came back to me later, and then I saw him again an hour or two later. He said, "I was thinking about it," and he said that when you take a wine bottle that has a cork in it and you turn it upside down, nothing comes out either. So what did Ramesha mean? That just because the milk bottle, when you turn it upside down, nothing comes out, that's steam emaliusa? My wine bottle is the same thing. So obviously everyone holds you're allowed to take a cork out of a wine bottle. So why should that be any different? So he said, "Maybe you're right. Maybe there's that difference. Maybe when it comes to the milk carton, that when you open it up, it's you're actually ripping it a little bit. But maybe by the plastic device, since there's no tearing necessary when you use this device, maybe that makes it that it's not a steam emaliusa." So I wasn't sure about that last part of the sentence. He seemed to be saying that because when you use this device, you're not going to have to tear something, so then it's not a steam emaliusa. Is the steam emaliusa defined by if you have a fancy device that will be able to get it off in a way that's totally abnormal without involvement? Meaning, there are probably ways to open up a milk bottle without tearing also. If you take a steamer, probably, and steam off all the glue, right, that holds it shut, that will probably also open it. Does that make it not a steam emaliusa? No, a steam emaliusa is how strong the steamer is. But I didn't see him three times today, only sometimes. And I still get nervous. I can't think when I'm talking to him. I just like listen to everything he says, and I go write it down afterwards. And then like I think afterwards, and like, oh, why didn't I ask the obvious question? So I'm still not clear. But the last, you know, as of 3 o'clock today it was Aser, but as of 6 o'clock today we were okay. We were in. It was going to be Mutter again. But the bottom line is this product necessary? So if you actually open up plastic soda bottles, which my impression is that most people are making like Rosh Hashanah Zalman to open plastic soda bottles on Shabbos, not only because of the poll we just did here right now. My impression is that most people are making about that issue. So it would seem that that this would be unnecessary. What do you lose? $20? Not a big deal. Okay, fine. So always a good idea to keep a Jew in business and provide parnasa if you'd like to. It's a good conversation piece to have at your Shabbos table. That's priceless. But not necessary. If you hold like those poskim. And it's not so clear that Rav Meisha held. I don't know where Rav Meisha writes this way exactly, but Rav Shechter certainly was under the impression that Rav Meisha holds this way by the milk cartons. I don't know where Rav Meisha writes this way explicitly when it comes to soda bottles. Everything seems to be word of mouth, maybe yes, maybe no. I spoke to him and he said yes, I spoke to him, he said no. I don't know. If you hold that it's a problem, so then this would solve at least those two problems. Potentially steam amalisa if you hold like Rav Shechter at 6 p.m. and like Rav Shechter at 3 p.m. Do we have a few minutes for the 10 minutes for the other one? Yeah, can you dress like a priest on Purim? Or just tiny? What would the issue be? So first of all, why do we have costumes at all? Why do we dress like anything on Purim? Okay, so that's a good kasha. No one has a really good answer. There's a ton of literature on dressing up on Purim, but it's all of the literature assumes that people are dressing up and just discusses, okay, now you're a man, you want to dress like a woman, are you allowed to do that? You want to wear a costume that has shatnes midrabanan, you know, it involves wearing one of the 12 types of Uggs or something, right? So... so are you allowed to do that, right? So the and there you would imagine that the minhag is based on the idea that there's so much Hester panim, or there were things going on through the miracle, Esther hiding her identity, Mordechai wearing the levush malchus, different types of costumes that come up throughout the Megillah. Okay, whatever the reason is, or just because it's fun and similar, you know, Purim's a good time to have a good time, you know. So maybe it's about that. There are many reasons given. So, but what would the isurim be? So one possible isur, and I saw quoted b'shem Rav Yashiv. We have these svarim here in the Beis Medrash of different Piskei Halacha from Rav Yashiv that the people ask him. So there's a one skinny volume, one fat volume on Purim. Two volumes just on Purim Shilas that they asked Rav Yashiv. So I said, okay, if anyone's going to have it, they got to have it there because they have two volumes on Purim. So sure enough, they asked Rav Yashiv if you're allowed to dress up like a priest. And he said it's a pasuk. V'shem Elohim Acherim lo saskiru lo yishama al picha. That you're not allowed to mention names of Elohim Acherim, and you shouldn't have others say it because of you. Sefer Achinuch writes in Mitzvah Pei Vav, the Mishar Shea Mitzvah, Laharchi Kol Inyin Avodah Zarah Bein B'maisa Bein B'dibur Ad Shelo Yale Zichra Bilvaveinu Liolam. They should try to make sure that no one is reminded of Avodah Zarah because of you. What's the first thing you see when you see someone in a priest costume? Of the Avodah Zarah, right? So that might be a violation of Lo Yishama Al Picha. It might involve anything that brings the Avodah Zarah to mind, not only wearing costumes or doing things so overt. You know, there's a famous Shuvah, the Maram Shik, in Yerodeus and Kuvai and Aleph, where the Maram Shik discusses using secular dates at all, and particularly on a matseva, the Maram Shik is discussing, and Maram Shik is vehemently opposed to it. Why? Because when someone hears that today is March 7th, 2019, they start thinking, 2019 years since what? And then they're going to start thinking about the Avodah Zarah. So that's going to be a violation of Lo Yishama Al Picha, because everyone's going to be thinking in those terms. The reason to suggest that it's mutter to use secular dates is that no one thinks like that. You know, you think, oh, it's one day since March 6, 2019, and one day away from March 8, 2019. You don't go and think back to where it was coming from, but any time that it would actually be Malah Zikaron, then it would be a violation. It also might be a violation of Al Tifnu El Ha'alidim, that we're not supposed to look into other religions. There's the Shevet HaLevi in Chelechah Simen Mem Zayin has old tshuva about whether you should get into a cab if you see that there's a cross dangling from the mirror, and you're going to have to be looking at the cross the entire cab ride. In certain places, certain cities, certain countries, you'd never be able to get into a cab if that was a problem. But he discussed whether that's a violation of Al Tifnu El Ha'alidim. That's a hard sell to say that that would be a violation of Al Tifnu El Ha'alidim, but certainly to, you know, if you want you want your costume to be accurate, you want it to be, so you're going to look into how exactly do they dress, what exactly does it look like, why do they do it. So certainly you don't want to spend too much time looking into that kind of thing. I spoke to Rabbi Marcus this morning. I asked him what he thought about this. He said that his grandfather said in the name of his grandfather, so okay, I could say my grandfather, but when Rabbi Marcus says his grandfather said in the name of his grandfather, you know what that means, right? It means Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said in the name of Rav Chaim, okay, so that means something, right? So that the Rambam, you know, if you look in the Rambam, say from Mitzvah, and even Mishnah Torah, when the Rambam goes through all these different Yisurim that exist in the Torah, he normally doesn't give you the reason for the Yisur. But when it comes to the Yisur of Hakafas HaRosh, Hashchas HaZakan, tattoos, Sofas Kaka, right? When the Rambam goes through these Yisurim, by all of them, he writes, because that's the derech of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and you shouldn't, don't shave your beard because you shouldn't look like the Ovdei Avodah, the Komrei Avodah Zarah, the priests of Avodah Zarah, Dafka making a point that we have to stay far away from looking like those who are priests Le'Avodah Zarah. So it would seem that even if you're not going to be so into the Al Tifnu El Ha'alidim reason, even if you don't buy the Lo Yisham Al Picha, it seems that it's an extreme insensitivity to our religion to want to dress up like a priest from that religion. Now on the flip side, it's also very likely, although I can't say because I'm not Christian, obviously, but it's very likely an extreme insensitivity to Christians to do this. Meaning, imagine if on Halloween a bunch of goyim were running around dressed up as Hasidim. I don't know. Probably they would at some point face the repercussions of that. You know, people would be screaming all over Twitter that it's anti-Semitism and that it's right. We wouldn't be happy about it. I was about to say they would never be elected to public office, but they could in Minnesota. We certainly wouldn't be happy about it. This might be the religious equivalent of blackface, right? Which is considered to be something that's insensitive and racist or whatever. So you don't want to mess around with that. You don't want Christians saying, oh, look at the Jews making fun of our religion, dressing up. So even if you have no sensitivity to the Jewish religion, at least have some sensitivity to the Christian religion. So you might say, well, wait a second. Look, I know that all of these, it might be Al Tifnu El Ha'alidim, it might be Lo Yisham Al Picha, it might be being like the Komrim, it might be religiously insensitive. But we're allowed to do Isurim on Purim, right? Aren't you allowed to violate all sorts of Averus on Purim? Because there's a Ramah that says that you're allowed to violate all sorts of Averus on Purim. The Ramah tells us, no, you know the Ramah? The Ramah writes in Siman Tafresh Sadivav, Siv Ches, the Ramah writes that he gives a whole list of Averus that you're allowed to violate on Purim. The Ramah writes, here it is. Umash nagu lilbosh partzufim bepurim v'gever lo ve'shimlas isha v'isha klei gever. People cross-dress on Purim. Ein yisr b'davar. Me'achar she'en mechavin el simcha b'yalma. Nah, it's all in the spirit of Purim. V'chein b'levishas klayim d'rabanan. Get the Uggs out again. No problem. Shatnes d'rabanan. It's Purim. V'yeshom d'asr avalam in a kesvar rishona. People steal stuff from each other. Ah, it's all simcha. As long as it's something that's communally accepted, it's totally fine. what? So you're just allowed to violate Isurim on Purim? So each one has to be dealt with separately, right? Cross-dressing, first of all, not everyone is so excited about it, but there are explanations why it's mutter in this case. For example, the Gemara Asr is taking taking haircuts from an Ovid Kuchavim barber unless the recipient of the haircut is able to look in a mirror. Why? Because we're concerned that when the Jewish customer isn't expecting it, the idolater barber is going to try to murder him. So that when you're looking in a mirror, if you see the barber do this, right, so then you know to duck or to run away. So it helps to have a mirror. So when you get a normal haircut from somebody other than an Ovid Kuchavim, however, a man is normally meikar adim yedim d'gmar not allowed to look in a mirror because that's considered a violation of lo yilbash. It's considered a feminine activity. So Tosos also say that a member of the base nasi is allowed to look in the mirror when receiving a haircut. Why are all these yisurim mutter also? Because you're a member of the base nasi and you want to look nice. So Marmintz writes that the isra of lo yilbash is when you're doing it to be more effeminate. But when there is a practical need to look in a mirror, or for that matter, to dress in women's clothing, which is the same isser, then you're allowed to do so. So just like for greeting royalty, if you're doing it to greet royalty, so that's that would be mutter. And if you're doing it for Simchas Purim, but it's not because you're trying to be a woman or blur gender lines or anything, you think it would be funny if you're wearing a dress and you have a big beard and you know you're 6'2" and 250 pounds and you think it would be funny or something. So okay, fine. That's not as you're blurring the gender lines. That's Mari Mintz has other suggestions also why it might be mutter. But it's not that it's a violation of the Yisr, it's that it's not a violation of the Yisr because of the context. And the same is true, by the way, when it comes to Shatnas to Rabbanan in costumes. Most likely this is Ramal de Shitaso, because the Ramal in Ilchus Klayim writes that if there's no Hana'as Levisha, even though it looks like it's a beged, but there's no hanas levisha from the beged, that it would not be a violation of shatness when there's no hanas levisha. So by a costume also, very often there's no hanas levisha. You put some ridiculous thing on over whatever it is that you're wearing. Maybe there's no hanas levisha in such a thing. It doesn't always work, because if your costume just consists of an outfit with pants and a shirt and whatever, so then of course there's hanas levisha. Then of course it l'chora should not be shatness. And the same is true damages on Purim. Damages on Purim is not that you're just allowed to violate Isurim. It's based on the Tosos Masechah Sukkah, Daf Mem Hei, that if you damage on Purim, or the case in Sukkah is during a wedding, or on Hoshana Rabbah, you steal your friend's kid's esrog and you eat it after he's done with it. So Tosos says, that's no problem. And the Ramah paskins this in Hilchos Purim, and it's probably because of the idea that there's an implicit mechila, and it's understood that you're going to be celebrating Purim, so you're going to be celebrating it with a certain type of energy, certain type of excitement, so people are mochel. But that does not mean that halacha falls by the wayside in Purim. So anything that's otherwise usher remains usher. You're still not allowed to do anything else that you're otherwise not allowed to do during the year. These three examples, it's the geder hadavar, is that whatever is al pituvei ayir, whatever is the minag, that's what determines the halacha in these three cases. But dress up like a priest seems like a bad idea at best, and likely more than just a bad idea. Okay, have a great Shabbos, everybody.